It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
Only if you remove your shoes before entering the apartment. How you doing, Will?
I'm a lot going on the past week. Got a lot of birthday parties I've had to go to.
Yeah, what is it with September and people being born?
What was that? So with the people
January.
Fucking in January.
Yeah, it's
and
cold.
Then,
nothing to do.
I had four birthday parties in 5 days, and then I got another one next week. It's too much. I got to cut.
Fuck these people being born, except for the lovely Andrea Marchand. Happy 30th.
I got to cut some of these people loose. Out of my life to not deal with this, but not the people who I just had the birthdays of, because I have a whole year to wait for them to come around again. All the October, November people, I gotta cut them loose before their birthdays.
My bad time is, for whatever reason, between April 10th and April 20th, I think I know about 45 people who celebrate birthdays. It's the worst. Every day on my Facebook, I have 5, 6, 7, 8 people celebrating birthdays. I just do these impersonal mass, you know, you were born today, congratulations. I had two friends today that were born.
Oh, fuck that. Fuck these people born.
The friends who were born on September 17th, they didn't really appreciate my well-wishings, which was, happy birthday, this is the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Antietam, the bloodiest day in American history.
It was a blood birth. So what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Unfortunately, not a lot, which is not a good thing.
No, this is our crazed plea to, like, help us.
We're stalled out on Twitter and the Facebook. Come on, people, what's going on? What's going on?
I've given a lot of you assholes business cards.
We've given out a lot of business cards. Just and the return
click
on...
Click on... Hit like on Facebook. What does it mean to you? It means nothing to you. It means everything
Last
to us.
Last night at the party, I handed a card to someone. I go, those words, you put that into the internet, and you will find us.
People don't understand. We have the worst fans.
Well, the fans who are devoted are devoted. But everyone else, come on. It's a button.
And the fans who are devoted, teach your friends how to use computers. That's all I'm saying.
If Will Link can figure it out. No excuses.
I love how we start by any new listeners are like, oh, well, these guys just berate their fans. I'm going to rush to Facebook now. Hey, who's our sponsor this week?
Fuck corporate sponsorship and fuck the man. We don't need their money. We could do all this on our own. In other words, this week's episode will be available for the low, low price of $4.99 to download. Please pay and download.
Unfortunately.
Well, that's what happens. You know, it's Pearl Jam. You know, they don't want to pay for... They only played arenas with no corporate sponsorship, so their tickets are $700 a piece. It's like, thanks, Eddie.
Unfortunately, I think the people will have already realized that they get as a way to get around this fee.
We do have very savvy fickle fans.
We have the best fans in the world.
Amazing. They've learned how to get around our paywall. By the way... You know how the New York Times charges you if you read more than 10 articles a month? That's per web browser. So if you have multiple web browsers and multiple computers and multiple mobile devices, you can just max out on articles. Also, Variety.com charges you. What they do is, as soon as an article comes up, a gray screen immediately clouds over whatever you're reading. Not if you immediately press select all and copy, and then you go to Word and you just paste the article you're about to read. So
see, we're giving you important tips here.
How you get around the Variety paywall.
On the show today, we're going to be talking about Saturday Night Live's back. Hey, we talk about that a lot on this podcast. An actress tweets a nude photo. What? That never happens. And another actress is going to kill us all. But first, our guest today... is the talented vocal actor, how would you
vocalist.
Say
vocalist?
Matt Taylor.
Hello there.
Hi there.
By the way, I love that you're telling people how to get around and how to steal articles off the internet and how to rip shit off on Talk Like a Pirate Day. Or like Talk As a Pirate.
Oh, is that
Here's How to Pirate.
Oh, look at that.
Today is Talk Like a Pirate Day.
I think we have an episode
Control
title.
Control Alt Press, and you can steal all the articles off the New York Times you like.
No, the Variety one, I was very proud of myself when I figured that one out.
You're a true internet pirate, Sean.
I am, I guess.
And you didn't even know it.
I sail the high seas.
I'm so sick of people not paying for this podcast. And speaking of not paying, let me forward your cause of thriftiness.
I love that you've already given us some voices as we've begun this.
And normally I'm not one of those, you know, performing monkeys that just can't, you know, like, hey, I'm on 24/7. Here's another
like
voice.
I'm
not normally like that, but it seemed appropriate for that moment.
Oh, perfect. Well, thank you.
And that's the only one you're going to get. Good night, everybody.
And that's it. Podcast over.
Oh, God. Well, you know, you're complaining we're running too long these days, so we thought 6 minutes is a good amount of time.
For $4.99, come on.
That's all you get. A buck a minute. Let's take a step back.
Okay.
So, you didn't always do voices.
No. I got my start on the art side of the business. I went to a school called Cal Arts some years ago.
I think I've heard of it.
Back in the 90s, yes. Bill Clinton was president. And it was a different time in America.
People had jobs. Things were good.
People had jobs and a thing called hope. So I came out in the early 90s. A buddy of mine, originally from Flint, Michigan.
Okay.
And then
was it Michael Moore?
I met Michael Moore.
Really?
He would never remember this. This is when Roger and Me came out, and my brother and his then-girlfriend were doing some stuff for some public access thing, and he held the premiere in Flint.
Right.
So, you know, they tried to grab him for the public access channel and interviewed him, asked him a couple of questions, and I was kind of staying. I don't even remember what the
public
hell I was
access
doing.
Is what, before podcasts, there were public access channels.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the 80s version of a podcast, I think.
I guess so.
But, I mean, I sound like I'm demeaning the podcast that I'm on, and I'm not. Not here.
No, please, you could. You could demean
it. I wait till I'm in the car on the way home talking to the wife about that. That's when I do. Yeah, I keep it off the. Yeah.
Those two.
No, but anyway, so we met him then a million years ago, and and then found out about Cal Arts, which is an art school that was founded by Walt Disney. It was the last thing he actually did before he died.
Really?
I think it
killed
him.
And write a check to the Nazi Socialist Party.
Did he actually?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Well, that's where all my tuition went? Shit.
You go to Cal Arts, you hate Jews.
How come we keep talking
it's
about
true.
That?
Oh, guarantee you found me out.
So you were at Cal Arts.
So I got my degree there. Actually, they have a character animation program that specifically teaches you how to draw for animation.
I have some friends that graduated from there. It's a phenomenal program, and most of the original Disney animators, all the Pixar guys, they all came out of that program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a who's who comes out of there, like Roger Allers at Lion King, I think, Jill Colton we were talking about earlier, Tim Burton, Brad Bird.
John Lasseter.
John Lasseter, Andrew Stanton.
That's an amazing
everyone.
List.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm forgetting. Chris Buck, Ash Brannon, who directed Surf's Up. And the list goes on and on. All these DreamWorks people, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar,
Kirk Wise, Struck Beauty and the Beast.
Kirk Wise, all these, Gendy, I think, Tartakovsky, a lot of the TV people, Craig McCracken.
And you.
And then it was me. It was like, hey, not everybody has to succeed.
Well, so coming out of Cal Arts, then what was the next step?
Worked for a few years at Sony TV and Warner TV. That was really fun. That was my first job was Warner TV. Got to draw Daffy Duck.
Nice.
Yeah, it was my...
Yeah,
it was like my dream came true. Like in my first job, I was like, you know, I was like, wow. Okay, that was quick.
That's why you're wearing pants.
I got time. So.
It never gets better than the Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Does it really?
Well, he appeared on the show that I was working on called Hysteria, which it lasted one season, came and went, oh, I don't know that one. Of course you don't. but it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. And then I started about 10 years ago at Sony Pictures Animation, where Sean and I met.
Yeah.
And in feature animation, what they do is as they're in the filmmaking process, they storyboard the whole thing out. It's all storyboarded out. The story, as we were talking about earlier before the podcast, is the story is beat to shit. There's a germ of an idea. Somebody will have an idea of a story, and you'll really just lay it out end to end and see if it works, and then you put a bunch of people in a room, and they just club it like a baby seal. And what doesn't die lives, and then they work it, and they work it, and they work it. And then what they do is you make a story reel along the way, which is basically storyboards cut to time that the movie's going to play out, and you use temp dialogue and music and sound effects, and very often they'll draw people from the crew and, you know, production people or whatever. And I had actually always wanted to be a voice actor. It was something I did theater in high school. I had a performing history as a puppeteer. Traveled the country. I'll come back to that. I can boomerang to that if you're interested in that boring story. So when I heard they were asking people to do voices in these films, I was like, oh, I was all over that. Oh, I was all over that. I was in there. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
and this was still the temp?
It started as a temp. The first movie I got to do was called Open Season, which originally starred Ashton Kutcher and Martin Lawrence and as Boogan Elliott. And then there was a lot of ancillary characters. Well, I actually did scratch for Ashton Kutcher. So, like, I would do Ashton Kutcher, you know, where he's like, wow, man, he's really big. You know, it's like, hey, Boog! And he was like, that, you know. You know, Ashton Kutcher, wow, you know. And... so I did all the Elliot scratch, and then I did a bunch of the side characters, and one of them was a porcupine that ended up being named Buddy, and he was like this little stalker, and he would just pop up everywhere, and they were walking through the woods. Elliot just offhandedly once calls him Buddy, and this porcupine's so lonely that for the rest of the movie, every time he sees him, he's like, Buddy, Buddy, and he's just like friends. He's like creepy, lovable, and so they loved what I did, and it stayed in the film.
Oh, wow.
And got me in SAG.
And that's how you got your start then, and that was the first real foray into... Okay, wow.
But for years after, kept the day job, kept drawing and drawing and drawing, and then it's only in this last year I've had a couple of breaks. So by the time Open Season 3 came around, they had burned through Ashton Kutcher and Joel McHale, and I had done the voice of Elliot for the Open Season video game, and so they were like... And the guy who directed that was a friend of mine. And yay, nepotism. A friend of mine, Cody Cameron, and awesome man, and shout out to Cody Cameron, another classmate of mine from Cal Arts. That's how far back we went, so we'd known each other for years and years by that point. And he was like, I like the job you did. You're going to be Elliot. And I was like, thank you, I'll take that money.
And the studio's like, and we can get him for cheap.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, yeah, because, you know, they get, you know, Ashton Kutcher and Joel McHale are going to have a quote, and I'll get, you know, a SAG day rate, which doesn't suck, but, you know. Those guys make above that, so...
So that was your first feature that you had done voices for?
Well, Open Season, yeah.
Okay.
And then, I mean, yeah, and then by the time I had done Surf's Up, Open Season 2, I got to keep all those voices of the characters I'd originated, and so...
Well, what are the voices that you're currently doing, then?
So, Open Season got me on the radar of a guy named Butch Hartman, who's created a couple of shows over at Nickelodeon. One's called The Fairly Odd Parents.
Mm-hmm.
Another one's airing right now is called Tough Puppy. Starring a really, really funny guy named Jerry Traynor, who played, some people might know him as iCarly's older brother Spencer on iCarly.
Well, you know, because I got all of the iCarly saved up on my...
I know, it's your target. I know, it's your thing.
The only Carly I know is Carly Rae Jepsen, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can call her, maybe. you know, I've never heard that song all the way through, and I don't care. And,
you know what? I hadn't heard the song all the way through. And then I heard someone sing it at karaoke, and I got to admit, it gets stuck in your fucking head. Like, and it's not, but not in like a horrible way. It's actually, I don't know. I don't mind it, and I hate myself for not
minding it. Don't make me start singing it. Don't make me start singing it.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
Sean, I just met you.
And this is crazy.
So, here's my number.
So, call me maybe. All right, that's it. That's all you people are getting.
Thank God that's not going to stick in my head.
Nope, we're good.
No, not after that. No.
So,
no
after you did
it,
the Carly Rae Jepsen music video, what we're talking about?
Yeah. No, Butch cast me for a pilot for a show a couple years ago that didn't go, but he remembered me. And when he was casting a show called Tough Puppy, I came in and I read for a villain that was originally supposed to sound halfway between... This was a weird one. And I can't remember how I did the voice for it originally, but it was supposed to be halfway between, like, Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey and Ray Liotta.
Any particular, like, Goodfellas Ray Liotta or, like, any Ray Liotta?
You know, like, Ray Liotta gets that thing where he gets really... I haven't done him in a long time. He gets that, like, Karen, come on, Karen, we gotta hide the guns, Karen, you know, and he gets that thing, you know, that is Will Ferrell that does Harry Carey, that's all I really do is Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey, and then you put the two of them together, and they get kind of diabolical. And that was originally what it was going to be. So we go to record the first episode, and I have also a one-off line. So when you do an episode of a TV show, you're paid for the day, but they can get you to do up to three voices for that one pay.
Okay.
Then if you do more than that, you get like a certain percent more per character, so they try to keep you to that. So they throw me a one line as a party clown who jumps in the door for this this secret agent cat is having her birthday.
Like you do.
But she's got those cat reflexes. So it's a surprise party, and then this party clown jumps in the door, and the voice I chose for the party clown was like, oh, where's the birthday girl? And she just zap and blows him away. And they laugh at that. And then somebody had the brilliant idea. They go, hey, read Snap Trap like that. Use that voice for Snaptrap. And I go, all right. Well, greetings, Tough Agent. It is I, Verminius Snaptrap, here to tell you about my most diabolical plan. And that was it. And that is what stuck. And so that is the voice of Snaptrap to this day. He's this big goofball, giant rat who lives with his mother and is constantly trying to commit crimes in this town called Petropolis. And Tough, this super agency, thwarts him.
Well, what season is the show on now? How long has it been on the air?
We're recording, I want to say we're into the second season.
Oh, cool.
Recording now, so.
Well, let me ask you this, because you talked about like a voice that's like Harry Carey and Ray Liotta. How much, when you come into something like this, do you have a say over the kind of, because they came with that idea of what the voice was going to be. How much input do you have? Like, do you get to come in with as many different takes on a voice as you want, or is it, do they already kind of have something in mind?
Well, they'll have a general idea of what they have in mind. They'll have a ballpark of what they have in mind, and they will make suggestions. You know, like, should sound sort of like a Jack Black, or sometimes they'll have like things like that, or an Andy Samberg type.
Okay.
So they kind of know what they want in ballpark. What you do with that is up to you. So how you bring that, whatever kind of voice you choose. I had an audition today for, and I probably can't, I shouldn't say too much about
what it
was for, but I ended up, for the description of the character, I thought, you know what would be funny? If he sounded like Jerry Reed, you know, who sang Eastbound and Down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You might remember as a snowman from Smokey and the Bandit. All right, son, let me tell you. And I thought, man, he might sound a little bit like Jerry Reed. So that's what I decided to do. Now, maybe they'll do that, or maybe they won't, but, you know.
I would have everyone sound like Jerry Reed.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, son, he's great. So that was my choice, and either they'll go for it or not. But, yeah you just kind of...
You'll live and die by the Jerry Reed decision.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. So
it's either
Eastbound or Down or nothing.
Well, so. It must be a great feeling when you go in that booth and you're surrounded by the writers, the director, the producer, and you just whip out this voice and watching them crack up because that's not what they expected or that's not what they were hoping. Just the way we cracked up right now when you did that.
Oh,
I was not expecting. I was not, when we sat down tonight, I was not expecting any Jerry Reed related voices. And this is fantastic.
And yet he showed up for you, and there he was. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Look, the people I work with, yeah, one thing, they make it super easy. The writers are brilliant. They're writers. They write funny words. They give you funny, funny shit to read every week. These guys are brilliant.
What's
so
the
they
age
make you
group
look like a rock
show?
Star. What?
Well, I'm sorry. What's the age group for the show, approximately?
I would probably guess 7 to, you know, teens, maybe.
Okay.
Right in our audience.
It's that writing. It's that great writing and animation when it's funny for kids, but the jokes are funny where adults would laugh.
Well, that seems like something.
They really will.
I guess that was always the case. There was always animation like that, but I feel like over the last few years, and maybe it's only because I'm an adult now and I see these things, that they really do play it both ways for kids and adults with a lot of
four quadrant.
Yeah.
Your favorite word.
Yeah. I hate the showbiz term four quadrant. I get that they have to have it for whatever reason, but...
But the work you're doing fits into four quadrants.
I don't care how many quadrants it works into. They pay me to do it, and it's a shitload of fun, let me tell you. And yeah, it's great. And the people I work with, so now, you know, so anyway, come back to what we were talking about. I'm transitioning out of the drawing. Butch hired me for his other show called Fairly Odd Parents. It's a new character. These episodes will not have aired yet. Yeah. It won't air until probably early next year. And I play the main character, Timmy Turner's pet dog, Sparky.
Okay.
So he's got a magic dog, and he sort of sounds like Rick Moranis and Ghostbusters, you know? Hey, you know, I understand you guys do your own taxes, which is really a bad idea. But he sounds like that. He's really excited about everything. So if him and Timmy have an adventure, you know, he's like totally on board. He loves it. You know, he's great.
I may have to start watching this.
Yeah, now, honestly, I have to see this voice now to this character.
Well, Sparky, you will see next year. Tough Puppy is currently airing on Nickelodeon. Feel free to watch it at any time. And your listening audience.
Do you know a specific time that it's on?
I can't tell you a specific time. I don't
check
know.
Your local listing.
Check your local. Yeah, go to your DVR, go to the guide, go to the search, whatever. You know DVRs nowadays. You can search
and
all that stuff.
And it'll be like, are you sure this is what you want to watch? You realize you're a single male in your 30s.
Yeah.
There's a new Boardwalk Empire on tonight. Are you sure this is what you wanted?
It's your snotty college roommate DVR? Is that what that is?
Well, it sounds like things are going really well. And very exciting
stuff.
I love it.
It's a thrill.
How about, what do you say we move on to some of the topics of the week? You want to do some topics of the week with
topics
us?
Topics of the week! You need, like, bumpers like that, like a Conan show or something.
Well, you're going to be getting a call to do the bumpers.
All right.
Sorry, Andrew Marchand.
These are your topics of the week.
So, Saturday Night Live came back. Did you watch it, Matt?
I did.
And Seth MacFarlane, speaking of someone who does animated voices, MacFarlane was the host. How do we think he did?
Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy. I can't really pull any shit credits out of the creative mind behind American Dad and the Cleveland
American
Show.
American Dad's fucking great.
Haven't seen it.
It's good.
I've seen some episodes. I just don't warm up to it the same way.
Well, how do you think Seth did?
I think he did fine. He looked like a voice actor doing live action. He doesn't do a lot with his face.
Yeah.
But the intonation, it's all there. He's got pretty good delivery.
Yeah.
You know, and he can definitely get into characters.
He's a handsome devil.
No, I think Saturday Night Live is always, each episode has its hit and miss skits. And I actually like a lot of the goofier skits towards the end of the episode. The one with him and Nazim Pedra.
Which one was
on
that?
The date. When they're like, and you were like, and this was like, you know. Yeah. And I felt like that was a very Kristen Wiig kind of a role that Nazim was playing there. And also, Vanessa Brayer was in a lot of skits.
Thank God for that.
A Kristen Wiig level amount of skits. So the question is, who's the new Kristen Wiig of this show?
I don't think she's come up yet. I don't think she's come to the fore yet.
I don't think so either.
But do you think it's someone who's already there, right?
Well, it's going to have to be, I guess.
Yeah, unless they get lucky with one of the new cast members. They had one of the new members did the Latina girl sketch during Weekend Update.
She was funny.
She was funny. Yeah, I liked the relationship between her and the boyfriend.
That was good.
Yeah, the way she
Stop
it. What are you doing?
I don't know that if they're as funny as Kristen Wiig, though, to be honest with you.
They don't have the same kind of plasticity that Kristen Wiig does.
That's true. None of them do at this point.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see. I feel like Nazim Pedra's played a lot of, like, she's played little kid characters, and I don't know.
One that played Honey Boo Boo in Weekend Update?
Vanessa Brayer.
That's Vanessa Brayer. Okay.
She also plays Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
Vanessa Brayer, I feel like, can do more characters.
Is that an ethnic thing?
No. What?
No. I wonder if legitimately, because...
No, maybe it's just where her talents are. You know, some actors are better at doing characters and impersonations, and others are just role players.
Big news, though, we had a black man playing Obama on SNL.
With the handoff from Fred Armisen, by the way.
That's right, because he was the...
How do we think Jay Farrow did?
I thought he was really funny. He did a much better job as an Obama impersonator than Fred Armisen
Again,
had.
Is that a racial thing?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, it is, because guess what? He's black. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to break this to the listening audience, but Jay Farrow is black.
Well, I do watch SNL on the radio, so...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, like Colbert.
I don't see
color. Right. They tell me he's black, and I believe them.
Yeah.
Another show came back.
Yeah.
Do you watch Boardwalk Empire, Matt?
I don't.
You know what? Here's the thing, and I wanted to bring this up to you, Sean. Boardwalk Empire, I like it. It comes back. I thought it started...
I haven't seen the episode yet, so...
Oh, you haven't seen it yet? Well, I think it started to kind of change tone a little bit. Like, it was a little more like we're going to be violent and crazy right off the start.
A little bit more Sopranos?
Maybe a little bit more Sopranos. But the thing is, why aren't I more excited about Boardwalk Empire? I watch it each week it's on. I watch it religiously, I guess. Mm. But when Game of Thrones was on, I was like fiending for the new episode. Mad Men, Breaking Bad, I'm fiending for all these shows. Why don't I fiend for Boardwalk Empire? What is it about Boardwalk Empire that makes me like it but not fiend for it?
I think there's a distance in the show. It doesn't fully engage you. It's a well-made show. It's a very pretty show. It's clearly a very expensive show. And I think a lot of that masks over the fact that it can be a little dramatically inert. And they use the setting as a crutch, I feel. And you feel it as a viewer. You just don't get as invested, as drawn in to what's going on screen. I think that's the main issue. Boardwalk Empire, it's a good show. Masking is a great show.
The reason I never jumped in the first place, and I would go back and watch it, I guess, if I was looking for something to look at. But it looked like I'd seen this before, and I was like, what new are you going to bring to this period, gangster, genre, Prohibition era? And that's not to say you can't do any more stories like that, but I just didn't see anything that really was like the next level or what was the turn on this that I was like, holy shit, here's that, you know, like fantasy worlds, like Game of Thrones, you've got a million possibilities and a million new worlds that you can go to. Even if it all looks sort of quasi-medieval, you could spin this in any kind of world because it's fantasy.
Karth, the greatest city that ever was or ever will be.
Yeah.
I feel that way when
Wasn't
Magic,
that great,
when Magic City came out, the Starz show that takes place in Miami in the 50s, I saw it and I was like, not interested.
It was like Boardwalk meets Mad Men.
Meets Mad Men meets Bugsy and Scarface a little bit, you know? I just had no interest in watching it, and now they have the new show, Vegas, with Michael Chiklis and Dennis Quaid, which, by the way, confused the shit out of me.
I don't know what time period that takes place in, just from
seeing the
billboard.
This also, same thing, like the 60s.
I'm confused.
Early 60s, it's Mad Men meets Vegas, meets, you know, Casino.
Really?
Yeah, and the trailers wouldn't make that obvious if you saw any of the commercials.
It's very
also, like, you know what's going to happen eventually with that town. There's the other thing, too, where it's like, I don't know, I guess these are the untold criminal stories of that
period. You never
period,
knew
but...
what Michael Chiklis was doing out there in the desert in Vegas. Well, let me ask you this, actually.
I'm Robert Urich in Vegas, by the way.
Are there any new shows? Because I was looking at the new shows coming out, and there are none that I'm really, like, every year there's usually one or two, like, I'm going to check this out. Nothing's really grabbing me.
I missed it. I didn't know it had already started. Revolution?
The one about there's a big power outage and there's a pretty blonde girl who's going to save humanity.
I don't know.
Like you do.
I like shit where you see stuff like that where it's like, oh my God, look at Wrigley Field grown over with vines. What happened?
I love post-apocalyptic stuff.
Right.
She's very high concept. We'll see if they can sustain it. The one show that I think I am going to check out and not necessarily the target demographic is Arrow.
Oh, the Green Arrow
show on the WB.
Oh, that's what that is.
They're taking a Smallville approach to the Green Arrow character.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah,
all right.
So.
That actually could be good. I'm going to check out, sitcom-wise, I'm going to check out The Mindy Project.
Right.
I've liked Mindy Kaling's work on The Office and stuff, and it's going to be on after New Girl, and I watch New Girl already.
What do you need new shows? We got Revenge coming back in a few weeks.
My Sunday nights are fucked because I watch Revenge.
Yeah.
I watch fucking Boardwalk Empire. We got Walking Dead coming back.
Oh, bring that.
You know, I mean, there's so much. Sunday nights are a nightmare.
Game of Thrones comes back in March.
Well, my father was complaining, too, because he's like, I watched The Good Wife also. And my father watches all these other shows on top of the shows I'm watching. I mean, his life is a nightmare now. Luckily, he just retired, so he has time to watch all this stuff.
Of course he's watching CBS.
Well, you know, to be fair, my father only watches The Good Wife on CBS.
Your father's a man of discerning tastes.
I haven't seen a CBS show. My hand to God.
How I Met Your Mother. It's the only one I watch.
What?
How I Met Your Mother.
I've never even seen that.
Oh, that's good.
Now, I heard that's good. That I probably could
it's
have seen.
It's a severely above-average sitcom, and I mean that in a good way.
It could be the one network I don't watch anything on.
It's definitely the one I don't watch anything on. And that's not to crap on How I Met Your Mother. I actually
just never got into it.
I never got into it. I don't think I've seen a CBS show since, I don't know, Mannix?
You know what?
I don't even know if that was CBS.
You know what CBS show could go fuck itself? The Big Bang Theory. Moving on. I saw The Master. And I want to talk about it briefly because in our fall movie episode, I was very excited for it. So I wanted to give some quick thoughts on it. I know you haven't gotten a chance to see it, either of you guys. But
in the ending...
What happens at the end... But actually, that's part of my...
Bruce Willis is dead.
Yeah,
this is where I'm slightly torn about the movie. Because it is two of the all-time great performances you're ever going to see. Joaquin Phoenix and Philip Seymour Hoffman are brilliant. Give one of them the Oscar if you could break it in half and give... them each a piece.
All right, King Solomon.
Do you go side by side, break it in half length or width? Which way do you break it?
I would break it...
Who gets the tits, who gets the...
who gets the butt.
Yeah.
And the pseudo no-cock.
Yeah, the Barbie doll V.
Let's give Hoffman the genitalia-less crotch area because he already has an Oscar.
It's true.
But...
Joaquin did win one for I'm Not There.
The problem is... with the film. And the film is riveting, watching these two people, watching to see how a cult comes together, how a cult might break somebody down and prey upon certain kinds of people is amazing. However, there's no story here. It's really just a character piece. And I think that's where the problem comes in. The problem ends up becoming... Unlike P.T. Anderson's other films, I felt they were all building something. There Will Be Blood was building to this kind of violent end. Magnolia was building to this emotional catharsis. I know we disagree on this, but emotional catharsis that comes through in the frog scene. But at least you feel like those are getting somewhere. Watching the master, as good as it is, you know it's not really building to anything. You kind of feel it in your bones watching it. And that's, I think, the one flaw of the film. But it's definitely worth seeing. Brilliant performances. Fascinating fascinating topic.
Scenario.
I saw a movie on the internet. I was watching online.
Yeah.
It was called The Masturbator. And very different. About a guy who was watching internet porn, and then I realized I had left my webcam on.
That movie, and that movie very much
and
did
I
come to
the guy
head.
Looked like me a lot, and then I was like, yeah. Oh, that explains a lot when I saw the light on the cam line. Yeah. By the way, that movie, built to something.
Yes.
Hey.
Oh. And it was you. At, what is it, in 70 millimeters?
Was it? Was there, 7 millimeters.
Was there as much sweat and screaming as in The Master?
Yeah. There was a lot of blood.
I'm glad
there will be blood.
There will be blood.
I'm glad you've punch given me a perfect segue here talking about filming yourself masturbating because Alison Pill, the lovely, adorable actress on the subpar television series Newsroom, accidentally tweeted a nude photo of herself this week.
God bless her.
And what I like particularly about the photo is not just that she's topless, but she was wearing these, like, nerdy glasses.
The Sally Jesse Raphael glasses. It's yes. Not the tweeting yourself you should be embarrassed about.
Those fucking glasses.
It's the Sally Jesse Raphael glasses that but should...
Why does this happen to celebrities? Why are they always accidentally tweeting nude photos? And you know it's not like a Kim Kardashian thing where she wanted that. Alison Pill's not looking to get topless photos of herself out there. Why does this happen to somebody? Has this ever happened to you besides this incident where you recorded yourself masturbating?
I didn't tweet it.
It
went on Facebook, but they didn't. They wouldn't allow it. But I don't know what that's about. Narcissism? Alex, by the way, my lovely wife Alex Alexander, who has done this podcast recently.
Yes.
She was of the mind that was no accident.
Really?
Now, I agree with you. I don't know what she has to gain by it.
Did she have any movie
working.
To plug? She's got nothing coming out.
No.
Well,
no,
those
no.
tits were.
Well,
hey!
I think here's what the main issue is. I think it does happen to other people, but, you know, I have 100 Twitter followers. She has several thousand. So there's more eyeballs seeing her feed. So when something slips out, all it takes is one person to snag it, grab it, retweet it, and it takes on a life of its own.
Be honest. You watch Andrea Marchand's Twitter feed every day, hoping that there will be a accidentally
her Twitter
tweeted.
Feed, Alyssa Vaughn's Twitter feed, Felina Britton. Yeah, list goes on and on.
By the way, she did show her boobs in a movie.
Yeah, she did.
Recently, Alison Pill.
Really?
Yeah, it was a 4:30 screening of The Avengers at the Grove. Hey, thank you. Thank you. I didn't come up with that one in the car on the way here.
I can't remember what
I had that one in my pocket. Okay.
But it is available out there, and they are a lovely pair of breasts.
Well, I don't know why this is happening to celebrities. Celebrities, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing with technology, and I don't tweet photos of my penis for people. And believe me, I take tons of photos of my penis.
Every time I go to the bathroom.
There are tons of opportunities for my dick to be out there on the internet, yet I haven't done it. So why are you doing it, Alison Pill? I got questions. Maybe you and me should discuss.
We should tweet at her and ask her.
I was going to say, maybe me and her should exchange photos.
Well, and Alex was saying it too. It's like, who does that? Who tweets it? It's like, if you're going to send it to someone
text
in particular,
them.
You text them. Yeah, she had to
whoever
know.
Whoever direct who's using Twitter for direct messaging? Like, unless she wasn't even meaning to tweet it at all. She literally just pressed. Because when you take a photo on the iPhone,
yeah,
you could say message or yeah. Twitter.
The greatest yeah. thing Steve Jobs did in his life
was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Oh, was was setting up a situation where people can actually, a confusing product that people can actually tweet their breasts.
Speaking of which, before you came over, I downloaded the new iOS 6, the new operating system for my iPhone, and got to mess around with it a little later. It's got a new Maps program, which is pretty cool.
I don't know what this is.
I downloaded it as well.
Speaking of actresses, I was so dismissive of you on that, I apologize. Speaking of actresses...
Sometimes you let me just run on these strange tangents. I go nowhere.
Well, I had to stop you. I had to stop you on this one because we're, you know, we got a lot of topics to cover still.
Oh, let's go. We got to find out about this bitch.
Yeah.
Sean's like, I'm going to turn here. No, go straight. Yeah. We're going straight.
For those of you who haven't noticed yet, Will and I are an old married couple.
It's getting worse and worse with each episode. Amanda Bynes. You know about this girl?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, this is not on video. Yeah, let me speak out loud here. My hand signals apparently aren't working.
You can't just
yes,
nod.
The Amanda Bynes. Lovely young woman.
Lovely young woman. And last week, she's been hitting people or other cars left and right.
Like a mad woman. And last week, the paparazzi followed her where she spent the whole day driving around Los Angeles.
On a suspended license.
On a suspended license. She was going to Home Depot. She was going to Baja Fresh alone, eating tacos in her car, smoking a lot of weed in her car. She had one of those things that doubles as, like, it looks like a cigarette lighter.
Right.
One of the pipes looks like a cigarette lighter in your car. And she was smoking out of this, just driving around all day.
What,
like,
is she got some electric bong?
Yeah,
plugged into your 12-volt?
Exactly.
Your shit. Is that what she got at Home Depot?
Maybe. That's
what Home Depot was she shopping at? Did she think it was a head shop? Head shop. That's a 70s reference for the kids.
But let me tell you what. I'm worried about this, because then the next day, she hits somebody, she's driving around town, and I am convinced, being a citizen of Los Angeles, that she is going to kill me, that I'm going to be crossing the street, I'm going to be walking across Beverly, going to Swingers one night to get some chili cheese fries, and she's going to fucking plow into me, and I'm going to be a fucking cripple, and nothing's going to happen to her. Amanda Bynes is a menace, she's going to kill us all, and that's why you, Amanda Bynes, are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you, Amanda Bynes, fuck you, you're going to kill me, you're going to leave me a cripple.
Now, if she were to tweet a picture of her boobs, would you forgive her?
If she were to direct message it to me, I'd forgive her. Because then
it has to be private.
Yeah, I want this.
Not
to
everybody
just,
gets to share this shit.
Well, that's the thing. She's an attractive girl, but she's a menace, and we got to do something about this.
Well, she's out Lohan-ing Lindsay.
And Lindsay Lohan's upset about it. She was tweeting last week. This is how bad it's gotten for Amanda Bynes. Lindsay Lohan is tweeting that she's upset Amanda Bynes hasn't been arrested. First of all, Amanda Bynes was arrested, Lindsay. Secondly, why are you in prison? Lindsay Lohan, last night, we were recording this podcast on Wednesday, Tuesday night in New York, she hit a guy with an SUV, hit him in the knee or something. He went down. She didn't care. She got out of the car. She examined the car for like a dent and then left the scene. She was arrested again. What is going on? Why are we letting these young actresses drive? They're going to kill us all.
Why doesn't Lindsay Lohan have a driver at this point?
Why hasn't her license been taken away? Why haven't any of these crazy women's licenses been taken away? Is it because California sucks? Are we just stupid here? Why are we giving these? I know a girl who had one incident, one little vroom vroom, glug glug, thump thump incident, and they took away her license. She can't drive now.
Because this town is populated by star fuckers. Everywhere. I think across the board, I think the legal system is no different. I think when it's a celebrity, and it's a young, pretty celebrity, walks into your courtroom, there's something. I'm telling you, people are star fuckers.
What if the judge is female?
Can, huh?
The judge is female in the Lindsay Lohan
She's
case.
She's got to be a lesbian.
That's the only explanation.
The lesbian. Only answer.
The only answer.
The dyke court.
And you know, this girl, I worry about her too, because it's like when Lohan is critiquing your shit, that's got to be like Chris Farley, right before he died, turned into somebody like, really? Do you need another speedball? It's like, that's from Chris Farley? Shit.
Amanda Bynes isn't even just a menace on the road, though. She went into like some, she was doing some shopping, and she went to a dressing room, and she locked herself in the dressing room at some boutique place for, like, maybe it was a JCPenney or a TJ Maxx. I don't know where the fuck she shops. But the point is, she locked herself in a fucking dressing room for 2 hours. They couldn't get her out.
She was doing drugs. What do you think she was doing?
Why do you do that in a dressing room? She was already doing that in a car. Was she doing drugs? No. Fuck you, Amanda Bynes. These poor employees at TJ Maxx, they didn't know what to do. And I think she bought like a pair of flip-flops. Oh, fuck you.
I think here's what they should do with these kids. These kids. Look at me. Oh, my God.
I'm these that guy. Kids.
How are these kids today? I think what they ought to do is
chemical
you don't even
castration.
Have to suspend their license. What?
Chemical castration.
Sure, yeah. Cut Amanda Bynes' balls off tonight.
You
this
know
is
what?
Her last day of having testicles, Amanda Bynes.
We should do a fucking battle royale with them. That's what we should do.
Oh, my God. I was thinking the same thing. You get Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Bynes, let's say a Britney Spears. Or, I don't know, when she was on
and
the sauce.
Courtney Love just for make. Yeah,
sure, throw her in the mix. That's always a, yeah, why not? Get those inert chemicals in the same pot and take them to Kentucky. To a fairgrounds, to a county fair, and give them demo derby cars, and just let them go nuts at each other. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Like four girls come in,
$80 a
one comes out. You know what I mean? It's like the Uber celebutard will live. Or let them drive, and give them a bumper car out of like an amusement park,
yeah.
And that's all they can drive around the streets of Los Angeles with those little gas motors.
She's
gonna
be on the freeway drunk, trying to going.
Who's she gonna hurt? She's in a bumper car going like 10 miles an hour.
And then hopefully she'll get hit and killed. Problem solved.
Yeah. So she has to pull up to the Ivy for a lunch meeting in a bumper car from a carnival. I think
she throws the keys to the guy. And goes, don't scratch it, Pablo.
Well, I think we've solved the problem right here. I think we've got. Look at this. We've been talking, and we've come to real world solutions.
Yeah.
Not for this innocence of Muslims the problems in Iran.
We solved the Lohan Bynes crisis.
Yeah. Well, that was a boiling pot. Somebody had to turn that flame down.
What we really need is these two kids to make a movie together. Oh, a buddy film.
A remake of License to Drive.
No, Thelma and Louise.
Oh, shit.
Remake and have Brad Pitt still play the Brad Pitt role. The old drifter that rapes her in the ass.
What'd be great though is the ending isn't like anything off a Grand Canyon. It's just like off a ditch off the 405.
Yeah, no, what do you mean? It's the LA River. They go into the LA River.
Yeah. Harvey Keitel there waving at him. No. Oh, this should be Ridley Scott's next project.
He should
do his own reboot of Thelma Louise.
Oh my god.
Phenomenal.
That'd be another Scott jumping off a bridge.
Oh.
Well, on that note, Matt, this has been great. It's already that time.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Boom.
Hey now.
It's been
And tonight I'm filming Masturbator Part 2.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You're looking for distribution on this one.
Uh-huh. Don't worry, I distribute plenty.
Well, besides your
Reckoning
besides your series of masturbation films.
Yeah, let me talk about that while I'm promoting my kids' cartoon.
Yeah,
Why don't you tell us again what the
show is?
The show is The Very, Very Funny Tough Puppy. It airs on Nickelodeon on a regular basis. Check your local listings. Upcoming next season of Fairly Odd Parents, where I play Sparky the Magic Dog, and that will also be airing on the Nickelodeon Network.
Is that like January, or what are we looking at?
I wouldn't even know. I don't have any kind of exact air dates, but...
I want you guys to go out and check every week your local listing.
Yeah, just keep going every week.
Do you have a website or a Twitter or any of this?
I have a Twitter account. I don't tweet. I'm not really a comic. I mean, I've been having fun tonight, but I'm not a comic. I don't tweet on a regular basis. I'm on Facebook. I don't have a professional website for my voices or anything like that. I should get one together.
You do what Allison Pill does. She has two kinds of tweets, naked photos and retweeting political articles.
I do a lot of that.
Yeah.
I do a lot of politics stuff and all that. But that's also on Facebook and things like that. But all right, I'll start photographing individual parts of my body.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It'll be a build-up. It'll be a
Yeah.
Keep following them because you're going to get... What is the Twitter? Just say the Twitter. Why not?
Oh, it's Matt W. Taylor. At Matt W. Taylor. But I almost never go on there. Or I'll tweet something about the Detroit Tigers. Go Tigers.
Okay. Sean, what do you got to plug?
Got my same thing. My book, Triumvirs, Triumvirs, which, as you heard last week by Carrick Bartle, is the definitive publication of this or any century. So that's out there.
I think she just called you the voice of a generation. Let's not get crazy.
Well, it is Carrick Bartle, so... Got that. Got my Twitter, TheSeanDavid. You can follow me there. You can follow me on Instagram, TheSeanDavid. I'm very proud of that, too. Facebook, and I have Sterner Stuffs, which is forthcoming, and I'm going to be spending some time on it this week. So keep your eyes peeled, because that will be out soon.
And you can follow me on Twitter, at TheRealWillLink. And you can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I'll be reviewing movies. You could hear me say exactly what I said about The Master on this podcast on that show. That'll be exciting for you. You can also read articles of mine. I might have some more coming up on u1can.com. Can, like the city in France. In the upcoming weeks, we got some good shows coming up.
Got some good shit coming.
Next week, we have a terrific comic, Jordan Peace, and he is very funny. I've been watching his stuff online. You can also check out his website, thejordanpeace.com, and he's going to be on the show next week. Funny guy. The week after that, we've got Jeffrey Golden. He's the editor of a quarterly magazine called The Devastator, which is a terrific magazine that I couldn't
recommend. The Devastator is the name of my sex tape.
And see, actually, he named it after your sex tape.
Hey, well, it's
the
true.
First issue of The Devastator was
that was the fuck of this or any century.
And the week after that, we have a big treat for you. I almost said a big tweet.
We got a big treat for you. Sam Witwer, star of the television series Being Human. He's been on Smallville. He was in the movie The Mist, so he could tell us about working with Frank Darabont.
And also the body voice actor behind the Star Wars Force Unleashed video games. He is the main character.
And I believe he is also the voice of Darth Maul on the Clone Wars series. Man, this is... That's going to be almost too much show for us. That might have to be a two-parter.
Sam Witwer is a lot of man, too, so...
He's a good-looking man. So, Matt, thank you once more.
Thank you for having me. This has been awesome.
Thank you. This has been a lot of fun. And you really entertained the shit out of us. And thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to make you shitless.
And
we're finished.
We're finished.